This is Digital Story Podcast number 735, April 21st, 2020. Today's theme is LUTs, Raw Power 3, and more. I'm Derek Story. LUTs may sound like some kind of technical mumbo-jumbo, but they are quite useful and they allow us to easily add creative color effects to our images. Today, I'll do my best to demystify LUTs and encourage you to give them a try. Plus, we're going to look at Raw Power 3, the robust $39 image application that can tap your entire iCloud library full of images. All of that and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So there are two types of color adjustments that we can make. Two categories, okay? The first one is color correction, right? So if you have a tungsten light bulb, and that's what you use for your lighting an existing light shot, and your shot's all orange, and you want to make it not quite so orange, then that's a color correction. The other type, and you may have heard this phrase, I'm sure you've heard it, in fact, is called color grading. And that's when you work with color to communicate style and emotion. So they're two different things. Color corrections is a very technical thing, even though there is a subjective part to it, right? Because I may say a little less orange and you may say a lot less orange when, you know, correcting that shot captured under tungsten lighting. Color grading, though, is even more subjective, right? Because that's where we start getting into things such as orange and teal and things like that. Stuff that's used in cinema a lot. Color grading, you know, is a very popular, very, you know, useful part of communicating mood in cinema. And I'm going to talk about color grading today in the sense that I'm going to talk about LUTs. L-U-T-S, those are lookup tables. That's what L-U-T-S stands for. LUTs are used not for color correction, but for color grading. You know, when we're working toward the artistic, the aesthetic, you know, when you want to enhance, you know, I mentioned orange and teals. So when you want to enhance orange and teals to create a mood similar to what you would experience at the movies. When you're working with color grading, and specifically today, lookup tables, you know, exact reality isn't our goal. It's more about a creative look that elicits a feeling. And this is fun. Okay. So, you know, I know I had to get all serious there for a moment to explain, you know, what's going on here. But LUTs or lookup tables, they're a lot of fun and they're very easy to use. That being said, there is a lot of color science, you know, under the hood. There's a lot going on with these things. They are packages, right? Little file packages, often .cube, .cube is the most common LUT that I see, although there are different formats for them. And what they do is that they precisely shift colors from one spot to another. And those shifts are stored in this container, .cube, for example. And that can be used to just with one click color grade an image. So all these adjustments, all these things are within this .cub file. You import it into your application, and there are a number of applications that can support LUTs. Capture One Pro, Lightroom Classic, Luminar, and of course I'm going to talk about Raw Power 3 today, which also supports LUTs. Those are four just off the top of my head that I know support these lookup tables. Generally speaking, an application that supports lookup tables will have, you know, a place for you to use them over in the editing module. Okay, so there'll be, you know, all the normal things, levels, curves, and LUTs, you know, that kind of thing. And they will generally include some with the application. And then almost always you can import your own, and you can get them from all sorts of different spots. You start, you know, doing some, you know, search on the web, and you go, wow, they are LUTs everywhere, right? There are LUTs everywhere. And so then you can grab these. Now, I will tell you that there are a lot of ugly LUTs out there, okay? And any of you that have worked with this will know. I have access to, you know, just a whole bunch of them. When I worked with Skylum, that was one area I was working a lot on. And so I built up quite a library there. Capture One Pro, I worked with them there, and so forth. And I have to tell you that of the ones that I have downloaded or found out in the wild, I like maybe 20% of them. And the other 80%, I'm just going, really? Heaven forbid, maybe I'm too conservative in my color grading, but a lot of them just don't do it for me, in all honesty. And the reason why I bring that up is that when you find a great LUT, it's fantastic, and you keep it in your application, but I want to set your expectations that you're going to find a lot of ugly ones too. My advice with an ugly LUT is just like a pen that just ran out of ink. Whatever you do, do not put that thing back on your desk. Throw it away. Get rid of it right then, because it's only going to disappoint you up the road if you don't do it, right? If you don't throw it away right away, if you don't throw away that pen right away, it's just going to disappoint you up the road. And if you don't throw it away then, it will continue to disappoint you. How much disappointment do you want in your life, okay? I feel the same way about these LUTs. If you get an ugly one, get rid of it right away, all right? Do not keep it around in your application. Okay, so let's talk about using them a bit. And I have sort of a best practices way that I like to use these lookup tables. Again, depending on the application, some applications, you know, you have your list of lookup tables, and it'll be something like, you know, black and white portrait 1, black and white portrait 2, you know, color landscape 1, and then sometimes they give them, you know, really fancy names and stuff. So you'll have them in a section of your editing application. Now, some applications allow you just to mouse over the lookup table name, and it will apply the effect in real time to your image. And those are really cool. I love those. Raw Power 3, which I'm going to be talking about in the next segment, does it that way. So you can just have your list of lookup tables, and you can just, you know, scroll down them and mouse over them and see the effects. Very much the way that we use presets in Lightroom and other applications. So convenient, because if you're looking at an image and you're going, I know I want to do something with it. This is an image that could be, you know, really neat. I want to color grade it. See, I want you to start using that phrase now, because then you'll really sound like you know what you're doing. I want to color grade it to create this subtle mood of sadness, but I need to find, you know, the right color palette for that. And that's where LUTs are really nice, because then you can go to like your blue tone list of LUTs, and you know, you just go down and just mouse over them, and now you've got this portrait that has all these, you know, kind of blue subtle tones, and it's very moody and stuff, and you go, that's it, and then you stop right there. You have it. They're really handy to use that way, very much like presets in many of our image editing applications, and you can use them together in tandem with presets as well. That's their use, a set of color adjustments that have been artfully put together in a package to create a specific color grading effect. How does that sound? Sound pretty good? Here's the way I like to use them. What I do, first of all, apps that have layers, I think, are a really nice way to use LUTs, because, and this works with Luminar that has layers, this works with Capture One Pro that has layers. On the base layer, you do your basic corrections, right? So you're going to get the tone right. Things like, you know, definition, sharpness, you know, all that kind of stuff. Take care of that on the base layer. And then create a second layer for your color grading where you can apply the lookup table. And what I like about that in an application that has layers is then you can combine more than one LUT in that layer. Or you can play with the opacity of the effect, you know, because it's a layer and you can always play with the opacity. And or you can just turn it off altogether and just, you know, go with the straight shot that you've already corrected. You already have it looking the way, you know, that you like, And all you're trying to do with that second layer is add a little bit more emotion, a little bit more artistic feeling to it. You're using, in this case, a lookup table to do that. But you may not always want that feeling for that shot. And if it's on a separate layer, you just turn it on and off. So I really like it that way. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. But now in Raw Power 3, they also just have an intensity slider for the lookup table. So even though they don't have layers in Raw Power 3, you have the intensity slider so you can, you know, back it off a bit and essentially get the same effect. And then you can just click or unclick the box. So you don't have to put them on a separate layer. Almost all these apps give you a nice way to work with these lookup tables so that you can turn on and off effect. Or if it's a bit too strong, you know, just downplay it a bit. The layer approach is really nice in applications that support layers. And by the way, another thing that you can do if you have it on a layer is that you can use the blending modes too, in addition to the opacity sliders for all these different looks. Now, the interesting thing is if you do it right, as so often with image editing, the viewers won't really know that you did anything special. They will just see a photo that they find enticing for any number of reasons. And that's what I like about, you know, lookup tables. Same thing when I go to the cinema. I'm not always, every now and then it'll jump out like, wow, that lighting is really blue. You know? Every now and then. But a lot of times I just find myself, because of what they're doing with the color grading on the screen, I just find myself falling into the movie, into the mood that, you know, they're leading me down the path of to discovery there. I just find myself falling into it, not really thinking about technically what's happening there. And a lot of times that's what will happen with your still images too. People will go, wow, that has kind of like a nostalgic look to it. And you may have used a film simulation, what, you know, for Kodachrome or something like that, to sort of create that look with just one click. So I like them a lot, and I just really wanted to put them on your radar, and especially if you're using an application that supports them, such as, you know, Lightroom Classic or Luminar or, you know, Raw Power 3 or Capture One Pro. Look them up, pun intended, look them up. Play with some of the built-in LUTs that they include in the application. If you sort of like how it's going there, if you find them interesting, find some more out there in the wild and add a few, and just have them as part of your bag of tricks. Color grading, by the way, is very powerful, whether you're using lookup tables or not, but to work with color to help create the mood that you want to create for the photograph, that is really nice stuff and is totally worth investigating. I hope you find it interesting and we'll take a look. Raw Power 3 brings star ratings, lookup tables, and a whole lot more to the Mac for people, especially who use iCloud library, but also folks who just want a nice aperture looking application. I'm going to explain that more right now. The reason why Raw Power 3 looks so much and feels so much like Aperture, that's not an accident. Its developer, Nick Batt, is a former Apple engineer who led iPhoto and Aperture teams, and he really likes that approach. So he started working on Raw Power a few years ago, and it's both on iOS and macOS, and they work together. So right away, I've always really enjoyed using it as a plugin for photos because you got these aperture-like tools right inside Photos there, and they worked really well together. And the version that's on iOS is fabulous also. So now what's happened with version 3, this latest version, by the way, it's $39 for this application, is that it really has a very nice browser right now. Feels very much like Aperture, and it still has all the great image editing tools that we want, and they've added more tools, and they've added a lot of functionality to the browser. Two of them are going to be a particular interest to Photos users, which is star ratings and color tags. All right, so those are available now for people that have Photos Library, and there's a very clever way that this works. Nick has done a great job with this. It's ingenious. If you open RAW Power 3 just up as an individual app, then you can either have it look at a bunch of pictures that you have organized on a hard drive somewhere. It's perfectly fine to do that. It will even help you organize them more. Or you can point it to your Photos Library on iCloud. If you give it permissions, then you can use these very powerful editing tools in RAW Power 3 to modify the images that are in your Photos Library. And not only will it modify, but when you go back to Photos, those changes will be in Photos as well. It's really cool. And in fact, you don't even have to close Photos to make this work. You can have Photos open, open RAW Power, and use RAW Power, and it'll just update the images in your Photos Library. I mean, it's really neat when you start to play with it. And there's also an iOS version, and that is part of the party too. So you can use RAW Power and iOS, update stuff, and it will update everywhere else. So it taps the sophistication of iCloud, but gives you more powerful tools than you would have just in Photos alone. And it complements the tools there too. There's a few things in Photos that aren't in RAW Power because, you know, why? You know, both apps work so well together. Now, it can also be used, RAW Power, as an editing extension for Photos, right? So you can be just stay within the Photos interface if you prefer, tap RAW Power, do your thing, and then, you know, bounce back in the Photos. So you can use it as an editing extension in addition to an application. Now, I mentioned the star ratings, and Nick really worked hard on this. And basically what he did was he allows you to use star ratings in the RAW Power app, and you apply them just like you do in Aperture. You hit 3 for 3 stars, 4 for 4 stars, all that kind of stuff. And it marks those images, and then it creates star folders that not only show up in RAW Power, so you've got a folder of all your 3 stars and a folder of all your 4 stars, those folders also show up in Photos. They do. They show up in the Photos app as well. Really cool. And then if you make a change in any of the RAW Powers, either on iOS or the standalone app, then those changes are reflected. Okay. Now, this works best. This whole system works if you have macOS Catalina. If you have Mojave, RAW Power works with Mojave, but this integration that I'm talking about, this really seamless iCloud integration, doesn't work as efficiently. So to take full advantage of this, you really, you know, want to be running Catalina, the latest version of the Mac OS. Okay. And I tested it on both platforms. And a lot of times what I would do is I do the star ratings in Catalina. And then if I opened Photos on a Mac that was running Mojave, because I still have a couple because of the 32-bit app thing, the albums, the star rating albums, would show up in Photos on that too. I just couldn't do more with them. So really super interesting, really well done. The editing tools are powerful. It uses the raw decoding from Apple. So whatever the latest is from Apple in terms of the cameras that it supports and how it, you know, decodes those RAW files, that's what RAW Power taps. It taps those RAW profiles, but yet it gives you more tools to decode, you know, those RAW files to your specific tastes. I also want to talk about lookup tables because it supports lookup tables in this version. And, you know, we're talking about it in the previous segment. And one of the things, and Fuji shooters are really going to like this, I mentioned in the previous segment that applications that support lookup tables generally give you some lookups as part of that, right, just to get you started. And RAW Power 3 does that, and it gives you 7 Fuji film simulations, including Arcos. And it is really nice. I mean, it is really cool how good these LUTs are. And I was talking about there's good LUTs and there's ugly LUTs, and these are good LUTs. You know, you get Velvia, you get Classic Chrome, you get, you know, really all the film simulations that we love so much those of us that like to shoot with Fuji, right there in raw power, you can apply them to any image captured with any camera. So that impressed me right away. I mean, for $39, I mean, it is really killer. So who's this application for? Well, this application, I think, really is for folks that are in, you know, the Mac OS ecosystem. And maybe you're not using, you know, photos as much as you would like to because you find the tools not as comprehensive as you'd like or, you know, whatever the reason happens to be. But I think most people will agree that iCloud Library is amazing and works really well. And the fact that the minute anything goes into Photos, it's backed up in the cloud and accessible on all your other devices, that's a pretty cool thing. Now imagine having a UI and a set of tools like raw power that looks like Aperture, feels like Aperture, and behaves like Aperture to use with this very sophisticated library. And you can do it for $39. Not a bad way to go. Let me just read you a little bit of copy from a gentleman coder's site, because I'm not covering everything at all about this application. So I'll just read you just like a paragraph here, and then we'll get on to the next story. Raw Power 3.0 for Mac and iOS creates the first real option for serious photographers in the Apple ecosystem. Raw Power 3.0 is now the first and only third-party app to include full support for Apple Photos libraries on Mac and iOS, allowing photographers to rate and edit their images anywhere and anytime. New features introduced include flexible storage options, synchronized ratings and flagging for Photos libraries, support for Files.app on iOS, advanced auto enhance, LUT support, and one-tap integration with the popular Halid camera app on iOS. Raw Power 3, developed by Nick, a former Apple engineer who led the iPhoto and Aperture teams, is available for download today on the Mac and iOS app stores. And like I said, it's $39. It's a cool app. It really is. It's definitely worth taking a look. And if you get excited about, you know, what I talked about, LUTs, and you have an iCloud library, and you miss Aperture, I would take a look at Raw Power 3. It is terrific. Digitizing Family Memories, the course, is now available online. So I talked about this extensively last week, that I was developing this course, in part because it's one of those projects that many of us have a hard time getting to. Shoeboxes full of pictures from our past, a lot of times taken by family members that we may have never met even. We, because we're photographers and tend to be the historians in the family, sort of end up with these shoeboxes and then just have them sort of there on our shoulders because we haven't had time to get to them. And my thinking was that if we were ever going to have time to get to them, would probably be now, while most of us are sheltered in or should be sheltered in. Why not create a course that gives you assignments and just over the period of 4 weeks there just sort of walks you through the different options that you have for going from a shoebox full of images to something that's nice and clean and cataloged on your computer, including with metadata and touched up images. Now seems like a great time to do this, and that is what this course is for. The timing is on purpose. Boy, if we come out of this thing, you know, that we're all going through together with some real wins, and I would put digitizing some of these family memories and having them available not only to family members now but to future generations, I would put that in the win column for sure. If we can come out of this with a few wins like that, I think it will help us feel a little bit better about the sacrifices that we've had to make, you know, during this time. Alrighty. So now, Patreon members of the Inner Circle for the Digital Story, they can sign up for free on this course. It is a perk as part of being Inner Circle member. And all you have to do, there's a post on there about this class. You just have to go in the comments field and just say, I want to be included, and we will include you. We will include you. We'll get you started. The course actually started on Monday, but You know, it's a, you know, you download a movie, you get the class notes, all that. You can jump right in at any point. And to that effect, I'm going to just leave it in there. It's going to be around for whenever, you know, folks want to start on this. So it's not going away after we run through this first cycle here. All the content's going to be there. All the notes are going to be there. Everything is going to be there. So you could pick up this course really anytime that you want. If you're not a Inner Circle member and you sign up at the Inner Circle level, which is $5 a month, then you're instantly eligible for the class. And when you sign up, I'll just automatically, you know, put you in the class because I figure that's probably why you're there, right? That's probably why you're there. So if you're not an Inner Circle member, become one and boom, right away, you're ready for the class. And then if you don't want to go that route, you can buy it as a standalone course for $45. And all you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, go to the workshops page, and it'll be right there. And you can sign up there, and boom, I'll get you in the course right away as well. Alrighty. We're having a tremendous turnout for this class. I mean, really, it's fabulous how many people have signed up for this, how many people are excited about it. I'm excited about it because everyone else is making me even more excited about it than I was when I came up with the idea. So this is going to be, I think, a nice way for us to spend the next 4 weeks. We get to spend it together. We get to spend it with family members through their images, and we get to accomplish something really great. If you're interested in this, then either go to the Patreon site or go to the Nimble Photographer site and join us. Speaking of our Inner Circle members, I want to do just a little virtual camera club news. I want to thank all of our Inner Circle members, and we have a whole bunch of new ones. All of you who just signed up for the Inner Circle, welcome aboard. We are so happy to have you here. This is a great group of artists who are committed to keeping the ball moving forward for us, not just with the podcast, but also with online courses like Digitizing Family Memories and, when we get to come back to it, the workshop season as well. And we will get back to workshops. Believe me, the moment that we can, I will let you know. Our Inner Circle members help with all of that. A big thanks to all of you who have joined. A big thanks even more to all of you who have been with us for a while now. I so appreciate your support. I also want to mention that we have tiles for B&H and Amazon on all the pages of the digital store. If you're going to buy something, especially something that I've talked about, if you will go to the site first, click on a link in an article or click on one of those tiles and then navigate to the item that you wish to purchase, that helps support the site. Those are affiliate links. Those are affiliate tiles. And we get credit for your purchase. Alrighty. And sometimes we get a little money as a result of that. And that makes us very happy, but it doesn't cost you an extra penny at all. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They are the folks who support us, not only by being sponsors of this show, but they're the ones that support the artistic side of our endeavor in terms of fine art printing, in terms of making greeting cards, nice big prints that we can hang on the wall, and any number of other things. They have a vast selection of beautiful paper, stuff that's archival. You know, we're talking a lot about archival stuff. They have museum quality archival paper available. And it's the same stuff that is used in museums, and a lot of Red River paper is hanging in museums. You can get that. You can get that right there on the site. Stuff that's good for 100 years. Good for 100 years, probably longer, but they're saying it's actually rated by independent people. So you can get museum quality archival paper at Red River. You can get all sorts of different surfaces, and you can get tutorials and all the accessories that you need to produce something really beautiful. Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the digital story. They have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Go over, give them a look, and make something beautiful. Right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed this show. Lookup tables are a blast. So is Raw Power 3. I working on some more great stuff for next week. Come back and join me. Until then, stay safe. Have a great week. Bye-bye now.